So it's polytheism in the Christian church, which is really very obvious to see, even though it will be denied. And it's breaking the first and second commandments. So Father and Yahushua was telling us, you know, standing tall and firm on certain principles and not giving up. And we're going to see people who did that and then also people who gave up also and came against him. So we're going to start off with just the foundation. What is the first commandment? Anybody know that? Let's go to Exodus 20. Mm-hmm. And make sure you look at your page and then you try to get ahead of us. So, because I'm just going to read. If you're there, that's fine. If you're not, I'm just going to pass you. But the first commandment on the mount was,
I love Yahweh, thy Elohim.
Was, I am Yahweh, thy Elohim. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The first commandment in Deuteronomy is, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh alone, or Yahweh is one, and thou shalt ahab Yahweh, thy Elohim, with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul, and thy strength. Now, Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. But when you're on the mound, he is saying, in Exodus 20, verse 1, And Elohim spake all these words, saying, I am Yahweh thy Elohim, who hath brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of servants. Thou shalt not have other gods besides me. Second one, Thou shalt not make to thee any image or any form. Do we have images in the form of Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Sure we do. Do we have images in the forms of spirit? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got doves and flames and things of that effect. These are not gods. They are not Yahweh, because Yahweh is invisible. But what we will see, as we know today, is Yahushua or Jesus has become Yahweh. So we just finished a paper, it's on our website, it's called The Sacred Name, How Jesus Became Yahweh. And then we have a good history. We go to Deuteronomy 6 to show you the first commandment. Also,
I'm sorry, Deuteronomy what?
6, verse 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our Elohim, Yahweh is one, or Yahweh alone. Very simple. How can we get this wrong? How in the heck can you get this wrong? When they came to Christ and they said, what's the first commandment? Did he say, Hear, O Israel, I am your God.
Nope.
I alone. Mm-hmm. He quoted this, Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Thou shalt therefore ahab Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. It goes on and on and on. This is the foundation of Yahwehism. So I started thinking about when people start saying, are you a Catholic or are you a Protestant? And you say, neither.
I'm a Yahwehite?
I'm a follower of Yahweh. Very simply, and even the word Christian is only used three times in the Bible, in the New Testament, two times in Acts and once in Peter. So the apostle, Paul never used the word Christian. And then, we know what it's meaning, but we've got so much paganism going on now that when we say Christian, it's almost, Jesus is our God. That's our religion. Instead of Yahweh is our Elohim. Is Jesus has replaced us, not by Yahushua. He didn't ask to do that. So, we want to be followers of Yahweh. So, I am a Yahwehite, or it's Yahwehism instead of Islam. And why polytheism? I thought it was a good illustration is Nathaniel Ladner wrote, he didn't write something, but he says, people need to see a visible God. And this is so, I think, so easily predictable for people. They want to see a God. And so we got a picture of Jesus. And we don't have anything. We have no picture whatsoever of Yahweh. And so what we've done is we made one. And so here's our God. We just forget about Yahweh because we can't even see that guy. But let's put this guy up, and we got pictures of him, and obviously nobody has a picture of him. We just got a picture of a man that's good looking, which is fine. That's just fine. So we go into Psalms 115, and you're going to see this tendency to be like the rest of the nations who have a God. You know, you go into Hinduism, you know, they got Buddha. I guess Islam doesn't have any images, so at least they're right on that. 15:1 of Psalms.
Psalms
15. Oh, 115, sorry. Oh. 115, verses 1 through 8. Are you going to be able to read that, Eli?
Wait, 1 through 8? Or I thought it says 28.
No. Psalms 115.
Oh, I was looking at the wrong one.
Okay, well, I'll go and read it. Not unto us, O Yahweh, not unto us, but unto thy own name give glory, concerning thy loving kindness, concerning thy faithfulness. Wherefore should the nations say, pray, where is their Elohim? And so, people back there, where's your Elohim? We don't see. We come to your place. There's no statues. There's no shrines. I mean, there's no visible signs whatsoever. We got one right in my pocket. You know, I got Baal, and we got altars, and we got shrines, the great goddess of Diana of Ephesians. Verse 2, wherefore should the nations say, pray, where is their Elohim? When our Elohim is in the heavens, whatsoever he pleadeth, he hath done. That's the answer. He's in the heavens. We have no image of him. And actually, it's forbidden to have any image. And so polytheism is a sin, very simple. And you're breaking the first and second commandment right off the bat. I thought, wow. Now how?
Yeah, right.
How can you deal with that and try to justify that? Verse 4, their idols are silver and gold, the works of man's hands. A mouth they have, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they have not. Ears have they, but they hear not. A nose have they, but they smell not. Their hands, but they feel not. Their feet, but they walk not. No sound make they in their throat. Like unto them shall be they who make them, everyone who trusts in them. Mm-hmm. And so this is the longing for people to have a God.
The statue, Elijah.
And we go to now Deuteronomy 5:22.
Brennan, did we skip Mark?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Whoa.
That's a good point. I did. I got a lot of verses.
I got a bunch of them mixed up.
Deuteronomy 5:22. Next time I'll let you know. I'm sorry. That's right. I did skip Mark. Are you on 5, Deuteronomy 5:22? And so read 22-24.
Me?
Yes.
Okay. These words spake Yahweh unto all the convocation of you in the mount of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick gloom, a loud voice, and added not, and he wrote them upon two tables of stone, and gave them unto me. And it came to pass, when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, the mountain also burning with fire, then drew ye near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders, and ye said, lo, Yahweh our God hath let us see his glory and his greatness. His voice also have we heard out of the midst of the fire. This day have we seen that Yahweh may speak with man who yet may live.
Amen. So we saw Yahweh was on a mountain. So you see fire and gloom and clouds, and that's most you're going to see of Yahweh. You heard his voice. Yeah, and to receive reverence. Now we go to Colossians 1, verse 15. Yahushua, his only begotten Son, is the image of the invisible Yahweh, right? Invisible Elohim. 1:15. Who is the image of the unseen God, firstborn of all creation? So very simply, we got an image of Yahushua. He is the only begotten Son of Yahweh. And we can see other words of unseen. We're not going to go to those, but Romans 1:20, 1 Timothy 1:17, Hebrews 11, verse 27. So, Jesus becoming Yahweh it didn't even happen at the Nicene Creed, what we're looking at. That's like 325. It kind of culminated there, and that's something that we've got to realize, too, of standing firm. These ecumenical councils were councils where people voted. Mm-hmm. And so truth was according to what? How many votes you have?
Yeah.
And if you didn't have the votes, it's not true. And so is that how doctrine comes about? You know, it's amazing. This is how truth is established on votes. And we see what happens in the United States and other countries. It's the farthest thing from the truth when the masses do it. But that's how it happens. So here's a little quote from Philip Comfort. He wrote a book that I mentioned in The Sacred Name. Encountering the Manuscripts wrote, and this is what most Christians believe. The Jews have always had great respect for the name of God, and so have Christians. Both revere the same God, but they know him by different names. This means they recognize different revelations of his person. The Jews call God by the name El, Elohim, and Adonai, and above all, they recognize God as Yahweh, the I am who I am, but they dare not utter his name or even write it in full. The Christians recognize God as Creator, Lord, and Father, and above all, they recognize God as Jesus.
Oh.
Yeah. This is where Jews and Christians divide. The Jews believe that Yahweh has always been the eternal, divine, transcendent God. Christians believe that Yahweh became incarnate. He is Jesus, which means Yahweh is salvation, the Christ, the Son of God, even God himself. Mm-hmm. That's what people teach. That's called polytheism. Many gods. And as we know, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, it's just part of life. We've done this before, but it's very simple. Jesus has a God. And read Ephesians 1:3. We have to go there. He should be already there. Are you there? Yeah.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Blessed be the God and Father. So when people come up to you and say, how dare you, if you say that Christ is a deity, the deity of Jesus is a deity, you're from Satan, which is very predictable, which we're going to see. What you ask them is very simply, is does Jesus have a God? Mm-hmm. And usually they're going to say, he is God. No, let me just ask you this. Does Jesus have a God? And they say, what do you mean? Ephesians 1:3. How about Ephesians 1:17? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Very simple, very straightforward. Jesus has a God. And we know if Jesus has a God, Yahweh doesn't have a God.
Right.
All right, if Jesus has a God and he is a God, then that's two gods for sure right there. Which is just, you know, we do this. I hope I'm not repeating myself. Other places, 2 Corinthians 1:3. It's just all over the place that people don't open their eyes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus God is Yahweh. And it's his Father, of course. How about Revelation 1:5, chapter 1, verse 5 and 6? Well, they'll say, well, he had a God when he was here on earth. Well, guess what? In Ephesians, he's not here on earth.
Right.
In 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians, he's not here on earth. In Revelation, he's not here on earth. So you can't try that situation. Revelation 1, verse 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, and unto him that loveth us, and looseth us out of our sins with his blood, and he hath made us a kingdom priest unto what?
His God.
His God and Father. Book of Revelation. So, polytheism, we have to stand against as an individual. And just tell people, you know, they're going to try to go to a particular verse. We don't need to go there. Just, does Jesus have a God? If he does, then
he can't.
End of subject. Just end of subject. I don't care whatever verse you think is putting Yahushua as Yahweh is incorrect. You know, it's just that simple. Because we have 10 verses at least, you know, which I could give them all to you. But I don't think that's necessary. So let's just look at the history of polytheism. Polytheism has always been the way it has been. So this is nothing new. Let's go to Exodus 32. Beginning of just one little incident. One thing you've got to realize, at least for the listeners, this is all the choir, we already know this. We're going to meet Christ and Yahweh face to face, and they're inside us right now. It's whether you're going to bend under the weight of polytheism, or you're going to stand firm on monotheism, one God. There's one God, and his name is Yahweh. And guess what? It's not about Jesus. Here's this illustration. We just saw a post-it, you know, on Facebook, and it says, you know, it's not important to get people into church. It's important to get them into Jesus. And you're like, wrong.
I didn't even see that.
It's important to get him to Yahweh. Yahweh, 2 Corinthians 5, says Yahweh was in Christ reconciling the world to Jesus.
Nope.
No, unto himself. Yahweh is the vehicle, Yahushua was the vehicle, as were the prophets, to bring people to the Creator, Yahweh. The end of the book is Revelation 21, where the Creator can finally come to earth. Mm-hmm. And because his son, Yahushua, has cleansed it, where there's no more death, and there's no more Sheol, from now on, so Yahweh can come back to the earth. But we see, you know, polytheism given from the prophets, anointed prophets of Yahweh. So you have to say, Kenneth Copeland, polytheist. Joyce Myers, polytheist. You know, Kenneth Hagin, polytheist. Who's the big guy? Andrew Womack, polytheist. All the TV evangelists. Who's the guy in Houston?
Joel Osteen,
polytheist. Billy Graham, polytheist. Fame and popularity has no bearing. That's a vote.
Yeah.
People are just voting for that. Right? It doesn't make it true at all. The scriptures are what true, regardless of what people say. So in chapter 32, verse 1 through 5, let me see where. Here it is. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. Yeah, and Aaron is really Aharon. And that's why there's two A's. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if it was just Aaron, it would be A-R-O-N. So why A-A? Because that's really Aharon. So it's a three-syllable word, not a two-syllable word. Aharon. But make for us what?
Gods.
Yes. These are Hebrews. Yeah. These are people who came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Mm-hmm. They were in the wilderness. I mean, they were in Egypt for 400 years. These are Hebrews. These are believers. These are Yahweh's followers. And what do they say? Make for us gods. Do people want polytheism?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do people want it today? Absolutely. As we know, so they should go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has befallen him. And Aharon said unto them, break off the rings of gold which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. Is Aharon a prophet anointed by Yahweh?
Yes.
Yes. And what is this anointed prophet about ready to do? Mm. Cave to the people. He's caving. He's caving. He's collapsing. We're going to see that is what has happened, because terrorism will occur. We know the Democratic Party, or any wickedness our adversary does, is usually based on terrorism, which means we will make an example to anybody who comes against us. Mm-hmm. We will not listen to them. What we will do is terrorize them so nobody else will try to do what they did. We will silence them. We'll try to discredit them so everybody will be afraid to come forward. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens when you know, what do you think the Jehovah's Witnesses go through?
Yeah.
they believe in one God. Isn't that amazing? They believe in one God, and they're the heretics.
And they're the jokesters.
And the people who believe in three gods are the right people. And you're like, wow, it's just so mixed up. Verse 3, and all the people of themselves break off the rings of gold which were in their ears and brought them down to Haran. And he received the gold with their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it a molten calf. And they said, these are our gods, O Israel, who brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aharon saw it, he built an altar before it. He says, right in here. And Aharon made proclamation and said, what? A festival to
Yahweh.
Tomorrow. Two gods. So we have Yahweh, and we have this golden calf. I think it wasn't a calf. A molten, yeah, not gold, but we know gold earrings, but it was a molten calf. So we have, you know, really a Baal, and we have Yahweh. We have two, better than one. Two are better than one. We go into Solomon. Was he anointed king?
Mm-hmm.
Was he anointed prophet?
Yeah.
Absolutely. 1 Kings 11. Can Joel Osteen do wrong? Yes. Can Joyce Myers do wrong? Absolutely. Could King Solomon, who Yahweh appeared to twice, do wrong? Absolutely. 11, 1 through 10. And if somebody would read that.
But King Solomon loved many foreign women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, out of the nations concerning whom Yahweh had said unto the sons of Israel, ye shall not go in unto them, and they shall not come in unto you. Surely they will turn aside your heart after their gods. Unto these did Solomon cleave in love. So it came to pass that he had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned aside his heart. Yea, it came to pass in the old age of Solomon that his wives turned aside his heart after other gods. His heart, therefore, was not sound with Yahweh his God, as was the heart of David his father. And Solomon went after Ashtoreth, goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Thus Solomon did the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, and went not fully after Yahweh, as did David his father. And to where? Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the sons of Ammon. And thus did he for all his foreign wives, who burned incense and offered sacrifices unto their gods.
I'll go ahead and go. Therefore did Yahweh show himself angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned aside from Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, who had appeared unto him twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
And had been, don't think anybody is not crushable, who will not bow down to the world pressures. Anybody. Mm-hmm. Here's Yahweh appeared to him twice. Richest man in the world.
Wisest
man in the world. And had everything. Nobody's trying to kill him to bow down. And had been giving command to him concerning this thing that he should not go. So Yahweh was giving him commandment. Prophets were coming to him. He shall not go after other gods, but he had not taken heed unto that which Yahweh has commanded. Wherefore Yahweh said unto Solomon, for as much as this hath come to pass with thee, and thou hast not heeded my covenant and my statutes which are charged upon thee, I will rent the kingdom away from thee and give it unto a servant of thine. Was Solomon a polytheist?
Yes.
Was Aaron at one time?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, he was. These are prophets anointed by Yahweh.
Amen, yeah.
Actually, were they more important? Did they have a better gift than Kenneth Copeland?
Yes.
Yeah. Joyce Myers. Mm-hmm. Name them all. Mm-hmm. Were they more gifted by the anointing that has been poured out on them? Absolutely. Let's go to 1 Kings 12, verse 25. So, the kingdom, the 10 tribes, there's 12 tribes, 2 are staying with the seed of David, 10 are being rented away and given to Jeroboam. So, and what they were done. So in chapter 25, 12, chapter 12, verse 25 to 28. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and dwelt therein and went forth from thence and built Penuelah. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to offer sacrifice in the house of Yahweh, so all Israelites were supposed to go up to Israel three times a year, to Jerusalem. And that's what he was fearing. Then will the heart of this people return unto their Lord, unto Rehoboam, that was son of Solomon, king of Judah, and they will slay me and return unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. Wherefore the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to... You know, is that an image?
Yeah.
Do people want images? Do they want Jesus to be Yahweh? Do they want an image of Yahweh? You know, it's always an image. They never said, let's just pray to the unknown God. No. Image, image, image is always a creation of images. You know, Mary.
Mary.
You know, the Catholic Church.
At St. Thomas.
Yeah,
St. Christopher.
Yeah, you just have a lot of images that people are full of it. Now, what's interesting, who is Jeroboam? He was anointed by Yahweh. 1 Kings 11:29. Wow, Yahweh is just making all sorts of mistakes. This was the best of the lot. It had to be the best of the lot.
That's all he had.
Yeah, 11:29. Otherwise, he's not making a mistake. And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went forth out of Jerusalem, there met him Ahijah, the Shunammite, the prophet in the way of he having wrapped himself about with a new mantle, and they two were by themselves in the field. Then Ahijah laid hold of the new mantle that was upon him and rent it in 12 pieces and said unto Jeroboam, take the 10 pieces, for thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, behold me about to rent the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and I will give unto thee 10 tribes. Howbeit one tribe shall be retained for the sake of my servant David, for the sake of Jerusalem, the city that I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Because they have forsaken me and bowed themselves down to Asherah, and it starts naming all the gods. Jeroboam did the exact same thing. Anointed king by Yahweh, caving under the world that we're in. Now, so we know the problem is not the gods, it's the people who are telling us that we're in sin. They're called the prophets. They are really the problem. Mm-hmm. So we go to 1 Kings 13. Don't you just hate those prophets? And that's what... Remember Ahab?
Yeah.
And there's a guy named Micaiah.
Who never has anything good
to
say.
Yeah, he says Micaiah. And Ahab said, and all these prophets are saying, go up, you're going to win. And Jehoshaphat says, is there a prophet of Yahweh around here? He goes, oh yeah, there's one, but he never tells me what I want to hear.
That is
the churches today.
Yeah.
All right, just tell me what I want to hear. So Micaiah said, you're going to die. What did he do for him? He put him in prison. The life of a prophet. The people just love Yahweh, don't they? Now, when they hear from actually, they want to hear from Yahweh. When Yahweh doesn't tell them what they want to hear, it's the damn prophet.
Yeah.
Get rid of him. He's from Satan. He's from Satan. And we're going to see that.
Beelzebub.
Yeah, Beelzebub. Which, what do they call Yahushua?
Beelzebub.
And who called him? That the unbelievers?
No.
The believers. The believers. So we have to be weary. You know, this book is our map for today and for our future. This is not a history book. If we learn the lessons that's in this book, our future will be exactly the way it can be, because all the lessons we have received. If we do not read the lessons, we do not implement these lessons, then we will fall like every other mankind, because we live in the present evil age. So when people say, why do I read a history book? That has nothing to do with this. This is a map for success for every one of our steps, because when something hits us, these will come back to us to remind us, stay strong, stay strong, stay strong. 13:1. And lo, a man of Elohim came out of Judah by the... And this is to Jeroboam, the guy who was anointed by Yahweh, who gave him the 10 kingdoms. Let me start over. And lo, a man of Elohim came... And this is interesting. The man is always Ish. So it's really Ish of Elohim, and it's never Ish of Yahweh. It's always Elohim. And a man of Elohim is always a prophet. So if somebody in your church calls a person a man of God, no, that's wrong usage. You can call a son of God. But a man of God or a woman of God are prophets that have been anointed by Yahweh. And lo, a man of Elohim has came out of Judah by the word of Yahweh unto Bethel as Jeroboam. And Bethel means what?
House of El.
Beth is house and El of El. House of El. As Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make a perfume, and he made proclamation against the altar by the word of Yahweh and said, O altar, altar, thus saith Yahweh, lo, a son to be born unto the house of David, Josiah is his name, who shall sacrifice upon thee the priest of the high places, who are making a perfume unto thee, and human bones shall be burned unto thee, and he shall give on that day a sign, saying, this is the sign of which Yahweh has spoken, lo, the altar is to be rent, and the ashes that are upon them shall be poured out. And when it came to pass, when the king heard the word of the man of Elohim, which he proclaimed against the altar in Bethel, Jeroboam thrust forth his hand from off the altar, saying, lay hold of him. Oh, he's just really happy to hear from Yahweh, isn't he? People love to hear from Yahweh. A wise man receives counsel. A fool will hate you. Very simply. And his hand, which he had thrust forth against him, was dried up, so he could not draw it back to him. Great situation. But here's the guy that Yahweh anointed to be king, who is trying to grab the prophet, the man of Elohim. You think there's going to be some adversity by speaking what Yahweh has to say? You say, were these religious people? Mm-hmm. They were the most religious people out there. So we have to take that in consideration.
Yeah, he's going to burn altar or incense.
How about Luke 4:16? About another guy they weren't really happy with. And his name is Yahushua. Yah is salvation. The only begotten Son of Yahweh. The other thing that helps on polytheism is in the NIV Bible and the New Living Translation, they have removed the only begotten Son. And they have changed it because that's always a problem. With the Nicene Creed, they couldn't do that. They'd always say, eternally begotten, not made. You know, eternally begotten, which means you never were begotten. I mean, and so they just couldn't handle begotten. So finally, the NIV, the New Living Translation, say, let's just get rid of it. So now it's just...
one and only.
Yeah. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And now... exact same thing. Polytheist. Luke 4:16. Here is Yahushua, the only begotten Son of Yahweh, in his hometown. And we found out where is his base, where was his home, and what town was he living in?
Capernaum.
And actually he's coming from Capernaum to Nazareth. And he came unto Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and entered in according to his custom on the Sabbath day to the synagogue, and stood up to read. And there was handed unto him a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And unfolding the scroll, he found the place where it was written. If you look at Isaiah 61, it will be correct. The Greek text is wrong. It should be, the spirit of Adonai Yahweh is upon me, because Yahweh hath anointed me to tell glad tidings on the destitute. He has sent me forward to proclaim to captives release, and to bind the recovery of sight, to send away the crushed with the release, to proclaim the welcome year of Yahweh. And folding up the scroll, he handed it to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were intently fixed upon him. These are all his neighbors he grew up with. And he began to say unto them, this day is fulfilled this scripture in your ears. And all were bearing witness to him and marveling at the words of favor which were proceeding out of his mouth. And they were saying, is this not Joseph, the son of Joseph? And he said unto me, by all means you will speak to me this similitude. physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever things we have heard coming to pass in where? Capernaum. Do here and also in thy own country. And then he gives it a little lecture. And then we go into verse 30. Now let's go on 29. And rising up, they brought him home for dinner. And rising up, they thrust him forth outside the city. Yahushua is Yahweh, the very image of Yahweh. He's the exact representation of Yahweh. So when you're doing it to Yahushua, who are you doing it to?
Yahweh.
Who are they going to try to throw down the hill?
Yahweh.
Because that's his representative. They thrust him forth outside of the city and led him as far as the brow of the hill on which their city was built, so that they might throw him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Wow, that is the killing of the prophets. Mm-hmm. You all the way go through here. Our present day. Let's just talk about, I'm going to talk about 1300s. There's a man named John Huss. It's really Jan Huss, but we pronounce it John Huss. 1369 to 1415. He went against the Roman Catholic Church. He was a priest, a Czech. He was burned at the stake by religious people, by polytheists. Mm-hmm. William Tyndale was an Englishman who wanted to put the Bible into English. Big sin. He was from 1494 to 1536. He was murdered by who?
Religious people.
Michael Servetus, and most people don't know about Michael Servetus, which I'll show you. He was 1511 to 1553, a Spaniard. He was burned at the stake by John Calvin, who started, or that's where we have the Presbytery Church. John Calvin, and why? Because Servetus wrote a book, and it's called On the Errors of the Trinity. A great book. I'll let you zoom in on this. It's by this guy, Matteo Ribaldi. He was an Italian. Servetus was a Spaniard. He wasn't even trying to teach in Geneva. He was sneaking through to get out of town, and somebody recognized him, and they got him. And instead of strangling him, so even in the Inquisition, you got that?
Yeah.
Even in the Inquisition, they would strangle before you would burn you at the stake. They wouldn't, so they let him be burned alive. These are Christians. And so what we're going to find out is many times what we think are Christians are actually children of the devil. And they're in the highest places they can be. And I believe John Calvin was one of those. And if you look at this guy reading, he wanted to kill this guy too and burn him at the stake. But this guy wrote a great discourse on the defense of Servetus. Just brilliant. And he says, Christians are supposed to turn the other cheek. Christians are supposed to shun somebody. You don't kill somebody for not believing what you believe, but you saw the height of what the Rome, the Catholic Church and so forth. I'll kind of go into that. So we've got to speak the truth. John Calvin was Geneva, and he was a priest who was chased away by the Catholic Church. If anybody should understand persecution, it was him, but there's wickedness. There's a deliberate wickedness to destroy anybody who comes against me. Wow. And so here's what he said to one person. Honor, glory, and riches shall be the reward of your pains, but above all, do not fail to rid the country of those scoundrels, Anabaptists and others, who stir up the people to revolt against us. Such monsters should be exterminated as I have exterminated Michael Servetus the Spaniard.
And
you ought to hear these other stuff that he says right here. If it may be agreeable to me, he undertook that lie to come hither, but I would not transpose my... Because Servetus was writing to Calvin and actually gave him a book under a false name. But he says, for if he shall come, provided that my authority is of any avail, I shall not suffer him to depart alive. This is a Christian. That's right. Because he was not a polytheist. He wrote a book on the errors of the Trinity. the heirs of polytheism. The French, we saw last night, the French at Roman Catholic Church for 50 years were helping Nazis and not sheltering Nazis. And so was the Red Cross, transporting them to South America. Yeah, this is incredible. Yeah, see, this guy was Paul Touvier, T-O-U-V-I-E-R. He was a mass murderer. He's a French mass murderer. He joined the Nazi regime. He sent people, 80,000 people to
800,000.
To the camps. He wiped out Frenchmen. He was hiding in monasteries, him and his family, different monasteries for 50 years in France. Mm-hmm. And they were hiding him. So you need to really watch this. This is just so disturbing that the Roman Catholic Church was, and if you just put in Roman Catholic Church hiding Nazis, it's right over all the web. Just, it's so enlightening to be able to see that. And it's really nothing more today. Right now,
it's 1989. This is how current it is.
Yeah, this, I think he just died, which I've got his testimony in one of the places. Today, I got a note on how the Christians voted in a presidential election. On Protestants, the total amount of Christians voted for 50% Obama, 48% for Romney. So 50% of Christians voted for sodomy, abortion, and enslavement of the wealthy. That's 50% of Christians in the United States who voted. And that's the Democratic Party. So this is nothing new. I mean, what difference is that compared to the Roman Catholic Church hiding Nazis and their families and financing them to go to South America? And so this is all documented. The French government does this movie. And how the French pursue, and they're in the monasteries are locking the door on the French police, even though they have search warrants, and line. And so, if you want to look at it, it's very good under Netflix, under Nazi Hunters, and this is a guy named Paul Touvier, T-O-V-Y-B-I-E-R, and they're going from monastery to monastery to monastery to monastery. They're just traveling all through France. Catholics. Yeah. Helping Nazis.
Nazi hair.
War criminals. So it's the enemy that's within, is what we're saying. They are the enemy that was within. Not all Roman Catholics, but those people who are helping Nazis, wow. You're the enemy within. As we can see in John, let's go to the Gospel of John 8:39. Now, where this is going to be spoken is in the temple area, where it's only Jews, only Israelites who are followers of Yahweh. And here's Yahushua talking to them, chapter 8, verse 39. They answered and said unto him, "Our father is Abraham." Yahushua said unto them, "If children of Abraham..." It's really Abraham, Ab is father, and Ham is father of a multitude. If children of Abraham ye are, the works of Abraham are you doing, but now are you seeking to kill me? Same thing, it's always that way. Servetus or John Calvin killing somebody who wrote on the errors of polytheism.
Murder.
Yeah, it's always murder. That's why they killed Tinsdale. These are all the top church officials who are doing this. This is why they killed John Huss. And this is why they're trying to kill Yahushua.
John the Baptist.
And why they, anybody who speaks that truth. But now, are you seeking to kill me, a man who the truth unto you has spoken, which I have heard from Yahweh? This Abraham did not. You are not doing the works of your father, they said unto him. We of fornication were not born. One father have we, Yahweh. They're always going to say that. We have one father, Yahweh. Oh, they're Christians. Absolutely not. You know a tree by its fruit, not by what it says. Yahushua said unto them, "If Yahweh had been your father, you had been loving me, but I from Yahweh came forth him in here." Is Pilate saying this? No.
No,
Pilate's not doing this. The Romans aren't doing this.
Yes,
it is the Hebrews inside the temple area, the priest and the prophets. For not even myself have I come, but he sent me forth. Wherefore it is that my speech you do not understand, because you cannot hear my word. Why? You are of your father, the adversary. The enemy from within, the enemy that's within, the right in there in the temple, teaching the people. And the covenant of your father you choose to be doing. He was a murderer from the beginning. That's why he wants to kill him. And in truth he stood not, because truth is not in him. Whatsoever he speaketh the falsehood of his own, he speaketh because false he is. And we go to verse 59. They took up stones therefore that they might cast at him. To do what?
Kill him.
But Yahushua was hidden and went forth out of the what?
Temple.
So he was in the church, in today's church, telling them the truth of Yahweh, just as Jeremiah was in the temple talking to the same people, and they wanted to kill him also. What's time we got? We won't go to the next verses, but you need to look at 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, and that's where it's saying that that Satan himself is as an angel of light. No problem that his angels are ministers of righteousness. They don't look like devils. No, they don't. They got robes, they got collars on, they've got everything else. It's what they're teaching. So what we got to do, that's the enemy within. Then what we have to deal with, enduring hardship. And so why people usually fall is cowardness. And that's 2 Timothy 1:7. We'll kind of finish up with some verses. We'll be on time.
18 years. Promises.
Yeah. 2 Timothy 1:7. For Yahweh hath not given us a spirit of fear, which everybody else will say, but the word is not fear. Yeah, look at the... We skip down to... 2 Timothy 1:7, so I had to skip some, sorry. We're running out of time.
2:18.
Wrong way.
Yeah. Very back in the book.
But you can listen to, we're about done. For Yahweh hath not given us a spirit of cowardness. And he's talking to who?
Timothy.
He's a man of Elohim, a prophet. So what is coming against us wants us to cower. But a power and a love and a sound mind. We look at the word shame. In verse 8, be not thou therefore put to shame. And so another technique is to shame somebody, to shame somebody, to shame somebody, till they break and they bend. Verse 12, the word shame, for which cause these things also am I suffering. Nevertheless, I am not being put to shame. Verse 16, the Lord grant mercy on the house of Onesiphorus, and in that oftentimes hath to refresh me, and as regards my chain hath not been put to shame. So shame is a vehicle that will try to break us. We will always be a minority. It's just a matter of fact. Just like Jeremiah was a minority amongst a lot of religious people. Just like Servetus was a minority. Just like Tyndale was a minority. And even Martin Luther would have been killed if he didn't have a prince to protect him. So hardship is part of this course. If you want to do the word, you're going to have hardship. And like I said, all the fish are going down this way. They're going downstream in polytheism. They're breaking the first and second commandment. And you say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve Jesus.
No.
No, we're going to serve Yahweh, which is obviously obeying Jesus because he's representing Yahweh. Yahweh is always the pinnacle and always the focus of everything. Every epistle comes with who's on top and who's underneath?
God the Father
and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's never the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. He is subjected to our Father. He is a man, a very special man, that's immortal right now, running the universe. But that's what he is. He is a creation of Yahweh. He's his only begotten Son. Hardship, yeah. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore put to shame with regard to the witness. Wait a minute here. Yeah, I had a heart. I had 1:8. Yeah. Let me look at 2, verse 3. I must have wrote it down. Take thy, this is the Timothy, take thy part in suffering what?
Hardship
as a brave soldier of Christ Yahushua. Chapter 4, verse 5. But thou be sober in all things. Suffer what? Hardship. Do the work of the evangelist, thy ministry completely fulfilled. But it right in verse 4 about it. And from the truth indeed, their ears will they turn away, while unto stories will they turn themselves unto. So it's all, there's nothing new. Polytheism has been all the way from Haran or Aaron all the way to present day. But as for me, I want to pass the test and say, Yahweh, I didn't bend to that. Now, I was raised a Catholic, and we used to always do this, but we never read the Bible until you read the Bible, and you say, well, that's just ridiculous. And the whole concept, everybody knows is ridiculous. The whole concept is ridiculous. But if people go against it, they are going to be terrorized. You're not going to be able to join any Christian church. You're not going to be a member of a Christian church except for maybe Jehovah's Witness. They won't let you sign on unless you do their statement of beliefs, and that's their second statement of beliefs, that you have to believe in three gods. All right, so we'll end there, and we'll have a closing word of prayer and a prophecy. One more prophecy for the people. Well, Father, we thank you and praise you for a life that's more abundant. We thank you, Christ, our Lord and Savior, and through who is our mediator to Adonai Yahweh. And you are running our head. We bow our knees to you and to the Father. So we thank you for your word to gear it straight so we can stand firm and be the remnant, just as Servetus was a remnant, just as all these other different heroes did not cave and did not break and forced against the wickedness that was coming against it, and speaking to the people, if they have ears to hear, let them hear. So we thank you for that privilege and honor to be in this time where we can speak openly and put it on the airwaves. And we thank you for these words, for prophecies according to 1 Corinthians 14. As you go through my book, and as you go through my word, put it on your minds and meditate upon it. Let it grasp you. Do not let the traditions of men grasp you. Let my words grasp you. My words are what sets you free. The traditions of men will bind you. My words will bring light, and they'll bring freedom, and they'll bring prosperity to your lives, because I live within those words. And if those words live in you, I live within you. So be of good courage. I have overcome the world, and you are my sons and my daughters, whom I have given a more abundant life as you put on my mantle of righteousness and do what I have promised in my word to do. Amen. We thank you for these words, Father.